Hello, Simon. A few of us have said we can't hear you. I don't know if you're trying to speak, but we've been struggling to hear you.
Okay, switching over to another audio input. Ben, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Simon. You are back.
My apologies for that. Thanks for letting us know. I also see another message came through from Tom Fisher. So thank you, Tom, for messaging me. Apologies. I think I have an audio input that keeps on stealing the audio after maybe about 10 or so minutes. Is that when it dropped out approximately, Ben?
I couldn't hear it from when I first joined, Simon, but I wasn't here from the beginning. I've only recently joined.
Gotcha. Well, let's stick with using my internal mic on my device and go with that. And I will need to investigate and find out what is going wrong with my audio. So, apologies, folks, if the audio cut out and you missed out a few things. I'm going to crack on where I got to. So, let's see where we go from here. So, just talking about career growth and people finding their next opportunities. Every month, we put out a poll to the community called "Are You Open to Work?" So, if you're following the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, do go check that out. Share if you are open to work or not, and then we can use that data, track it over time, and present it back to the community to help us spot trends, give you information you need to better support your career growth and career opportunities. So, yeah, do go check that out. Okay, well, we've got a few other trends that have been happening recently. We've noticed that software testing salaries are trending downwards. We put out a post, a trends post earlier this week, actually, yesterday, October 17th. So we are gathering data around salaries. So do go check that out. There's commentary as well from the community. So from the likes of Dan Billing, Mirza Cizik, Gustavo Rivera, Keith Carpentier, and Megan Donnelly, just sharing their thoughts on what they're observing about salaries. But the summary there is software testing salaries are trending downwards. We are in the process of continuing to capture information and spot trends throughout the community, and we're presenting that as trends articles and putting out posts related to that. So do get involved. Do share comments on all the trends that you're seeing that the Ministry of Testing are putting out. It's really important that you can share comments, get your take on things, get involved in the polls that we publish on LinkedIn. It's a good way to get stuck in, add your comments, and we can bring that into some of those insights that we share with the rest of the community. And if you want to access trends, you can go to ministryoftesting.com. And then if you look in the header, there's a link to trends. And that's a whole catalog and archive of all of our trends posts that are definitely worth checking out. Some really good insight from the community. Well, how about we stop there? And again, my apologies for the audio cutting out a little bit earlier. It's frustrating when that happens. Pesky technology plays up, but there we go. Let's crack on. And how about we get some people up on stage? I would love to hear about your week in testing. Have you been on a meeting where your audio has cut out? did you have tech frustrations at some point this week? I can guarantee you probably have. Feel free to pop up on stage and share some of those challenges that you've had with technology. Maybe you've been testing something that's particularly tricky, and you've maybe eventually found some bugs that you maybe were surprised to find. I'd love to hear stories about how you're getting on with finding bugs this week. Or maybe you've had environment issues and you actually couldn't get started. All of that stuff. Please do bring yourself up to the stage. You can raise your hand. There should be a little icon to put your hand up. I can bring you up on stage and we can have a good old chat about your week in testing. So I'll go on mute, have a think about what you might want to share, and then let's chat. Matilly, let's bring Matilly up on stage. Hey there, Matilly. Good to see you. And how's your week in testing been?
Hi Simon, thanks. It was great, and as we are discussing about the call and issues, I thought it was issue from my side that I was not able to hear anything from the start of the call, but I rejoined and it was fine. And the weekend testing, just to mention that this week I was in an interview and I reached to the interview like 10 minutes before, and they were just preparing for one of the leads, QA leads, to join the call, and they were not able to connect, and there were some challenges they were facing for before the actual interview. So it's very common that we face these kind of issues. It's not only now, but during work also, like when we are mostly doing remote working, there will be Teams calls. Some people might be able to hear, some might not be able to hear. And first instance, I'll go back and test whether my connections are correct or not, whether my mic is working fine, and all sorts of stuff. And then we'll ping someone to confirm, okay, it's good for everyone. It's very common, so
Oh
it's
yeah,
good.
well, I'm sorry you had that experience as part of that interview. Did the QA lead, were they manage did they manage to join in the end? Did it happen?
They managed to join at the end. The HR and the delivery manager and the others were face to face, only the lead, because the head of QA was not available. That's why it was a lag. It took a few minutes for them to connect because the lead was in meeting and they started this call interview 5 minutes before. So
Oh, I see.
but it happens, it does happen, but people do understand when they're working on technology, so it's very common.
No, I appreciate you sharing that, Matilly. I wonder if there will become a point at some point in the future where all of this will just be seamless. I've got a hunch, even in 50 years' time, we'll all be trying to jump on a call, and there'll be some problem with a connection drops or something breaks. It's one of those ones like, is it ever solvable? I do wonder. Maybe a future version of ourselves can overcome this problem.
Something in AI might come. And also, it
That's
happened
good.
many times. Like, I was doing some remote presentation and I didn't notice that I was in unmute. I was going through moving the slides, and somebody then finally said, "Yeah, you are on mute. So, can you please unmute and continue?"
Oh, it happens to all of us. So, and how's the other parts of your weekend testing been?
It was great. Firstly, I was preparing for different interviews, like especially the way things are different. Years back, when I was giving interviews, it was very pretty focused on the technology side and what I have worked on, QA and those. But now, because this additional HR round and all those has come through, I was not able to clear my previous one, which was the fourth round, because I knew only a few things about the company and stuff. But this time, the second interview which I got, I prepared literally like every single bit, went on the LinkedIn, saw who was going to interview me, about their profiles, about the company. I even digged out things which even from the website and mentioned them in the interview, that they were surprised. They didn't know that the company was doing those things. So they were fully impressed, the amount of stuff I told about the company. So it was learning for me. It is a great experience. Like, things are not same like before. So when you are going for interviews, be prepared. Going through the company profile, about their achievements, what they have recently done, what the people who are interviewing are doing, their LinkedIn profile. First, I thought I'm doing wrong, but later when I told them, they were fully impressed. Like, I have done so much research on the people as well. That's a nice experience this week.
That's amazing. And that's great advice to our listeners as well, to do that research and really go for it. It's kind of cool that you found some information that the interviewers were unaware of. It's nice when that happens, right? But actually thinking ahead to next week, so for those listening live, we have the Testing Planet Episode 6, which is an event open to all. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can probably get access to the talks by now. But we have, it's all focused on interviewing, hiring, onboarding. Sort of adding to your advice there, Matilly, there'll be folks from the community, such as, well, Elizabeth Sagroba, Jesse Barkley, Alessandra Moreira, Natalia Burmai, Stuart Day. They will be talking about interviewing and how to approach interview questions. So yeah, very much looking forward to that. I know those folks have got some good knowledge to add as well to the things you shared, Tilly. So that, yeah, that goes to everyone who's listening today. If folks can come along, please do check it out. It's next Thursday, the 24th of October. Awesome. Matilly, shall we get, there's quite a few folks who have got their hands up who want to jump in. So shall I bring Alistair up on stage and he can join in? Let's do that. Alistair Goodall, AKA Al Goodall. I hope your week in testing is well. How's your week been?
It's actually been really good. Despite the fact I'm going back to the tech travel, I have found that my Slack has developed a rather interesting tendency of randomly disconnecting, leaving the other person on the end of the huddle, and at the risk of triggering all sorts of Microsoft versus other products kind of hate and all that. I have actually resorted to triggering Teams calls off of Slack because it's the only thing that at the moment seems to be remotely stable. So, you know, there are ways around, despite using, you know, everybody's favorite collaboration tool. So yeah, it's been eventful. And I've just been, yesterday I had some had a face-to-face team meet with a lot of the testers actually, which was really cool, which was a very long day. But I think that there is a happy medium to be struck between online and in-person conversations. Sometimes it's not the conversation, as we know from a lot of the feedback that you get from Test Bash, it's not necessarily the conversation or the talk that you hear. It's the conversation that you have afterwards, before, that evening, while you sat waiting for the train, that gives you the idea of that. So there's a lot to be said for in-person networking. I'm not saying that I am, you know, there is a place for both. I think to be fully one or the other blinds you to the opportunities of the other. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great reflection. It really is. And I'm glad you got to meet testing folks in person. It's always lovely to do that.
Well, yeah, that was really good. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Go for it.
Yeah. No, it's all right. Before I forget, interesting a conversation about interview preparation. There is an awful lot to be said about, to reinforce the point about visiting the website of the and doing like an information scrape of the company that you're interviewing for. Also worth having a look at is quick Google searches for any reference to them in the news or in relation to any kind of sort of tech surge that they might be part of. So they could be part of, I don't know, like assisted technology kind of boon, or anything to do with education, technology, things like that. So yeah, look at the companies, look at what that company is doing, and look at what that company is putting out, but also what are other people writing about that company.
Oh, I like that one about what are others writing about the company. Get a sense of...
And I don't just mean Glassdoor. I mean, like, you know, I'm talking about like The Times, or,
yeah,
you know, anything, Bloomberg, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like kind of a trusted authority, so to speak. That kind of thing. Very cool. Great advice. Well, we should bring up Suresh Mureshetty. So Suresh, I'm going to press the button that says allowed to speak, and let's get you into the conversation. Thank you for sharing, Al. But please do, yeah, stick around up on stage. Suresh, hello, and welcome to This Week in Testing. How has your week in testing been? Oh, Suresh, from my side, I can see that you're still muted. Oh, it looks like you're off mute. Let's do a quick audio check.
Sorry about that. Yeah, afternoon, Al. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, welcome.
Thanks.
How's your week been?
So week's been pretty good, I should say. Just wanted to share, one experience with the interview. Similar to Michaeli, but it's actually a bit different. So recently switched my broadband to a different provider, and having some connectivity issues. Had an interview with a company. I don't want to name them here, but yeah, I had a call with a company, last week for my first round of interview. Because of this new internet, unfortunately, I had some connectivity issues. I mean, we both got connected, but they could not hear me for some reason. We've tried for 5-10 minutes, keep trying, and then also rejoining the calls, and everything, nothing worked. I could hear them properly, but they couldn't hear me. And then the HR, the recruiting manager, the manager, and then also the team, the test manager was online, and they sort of told me that, they'll get back to me by email in a sign language, and then we left it there. The following day, I've got an email, which was really disappointing, that because I don't have a proper internet connection or working internet, they don't seem to think that I'd be suitable for the position, which was very, very disappointing. They cannot just make decisions on a poor connection for 5 minutes. That could be a problem from their end for me too. So they clearly seemed like they don't have any empathy or understood my situation. But then after 1 hour, 2 hours thinking of that, maybe that's good for me, because if they can't understand people and their issues, maybe I'm not judging here anyone, but yeah, maybe that's not a company where I wanted to work. If for some reason, if I have any other issues in the future, and then I need some help or support, they might not help or support. So it's good in a way that I've got that email, but people should understand that these things can happen, and then should be more empathetic, and then try to rearrange these calls, or look for any other alternatives. That was a very bad experience, because given the current job market, it's very hard to get these interviews, and then when you get an interview, then they they turn you down because, you know, your internet's not good. So, yeah, that was one sort of, you know, a bad experience for me. And in terms of testing, just going through some you know, videos, and then also some material online, just to keep me busy. Then another thing I wanted to share, that about the interviews and stuff. So we also prepare for the companies, you know, the social response. I've got this question asked by three different companies in the last year, last 2 years actually, that what they do in terms of social responsibility. So, you know, it may be a very good idea to browse through their website, and then, you know, what causes are they, what organizations they're supporting in terms of this, in case, you know, if you face this question. Yeah, that's all from me, Simon. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Suresh. And yeah, sorry you had that terrible experience. That's very frustrating. Very frustrating. And I think, you know, to your point about, you know, missed opportunity there, and but it helped you make a decision that, yeah, perhaps maybe that company wasn't the right match for you. And that's fair enough. As frustrating as it is, because I guess all the time and effort you put into preparing for an interview, yeah, it's a shame that one didn't work out. But yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, it's to remind folks that it is tough out there. It is tough. The market is tough, and companies are having to make these fast decisions or making quick decisions with minimal information, and, you know, they're going to get that wrong or they're going to get it right. And it's complicated, I feel. And great advice on the kind of focusing on what corporate social responsibilities companies are focused on. I think particularly that feels like it's relevant for maybe the banking industry or financial services seem to be hot on that stuff. So it'd be good for you to have that research in the back pocket if the question gets asked. So yeah, great advice, Suresh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So yeah, do stick around on the stage. It's good to have you join us. I'm going to bring a few more folks up. I can see we've got a few more people waiting. But just before I do that, I have spotted in the audience Judy Mosley, and I want to do a shout out to Judy because Judy is writing a really good blog on testing and quality. And I've included a couple of Judy's recent posts in the MOT weekly newsletter. So do have a look out for them on that newsletter. But if you want to jump ahead, you can look for the Failure is Feedback blog on Substack. It's really good. Judy's got a brilliant style of writing. Tons of insight, tons of helpful information shared all the time. So yeah, thanks Judy for sharing your thoughts, ideas and experiences and your commentary on the world of testing and quality with the community. Really appreciate that. So yeah, folks, do go check it out. But let's jump back into the conversation. So Ben Doan has his hand up. Ben, who kindly pointed out some tech problems. Let's bring Ben back up on stage.
Hello.
Ben, welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, I promptly had some tech problems of my own shortly after telling you about yours. So had to refresh my browser and then that kicked me off stage.
Crikey.
So it's going around.
It's doing the rounds. Brilliant. Yeah. All of our machines have got colds and they're all struggling for the Northern Hemisphere, change of season. We're all struggling right now. Where's that radiator and that hot water bottle?
Oh, no. Computers don't like radiators. They're loving the cold. Loving the cold.
Give me that fan. That's so confusing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Ben, yeah. How's your week been? Or do you want to jump straight in with adding to where we're at with this conversation?
Please. Oh yeah, no, my week's been good, and maybe I'll take us in a slightly different direction, although it's a very good direction we're going in already. So my week has been very much focused on introducing some visual regression tests with Playwright, and that's been an awful lot of fun. And it's also been an awful lot of fun having a debrief with my team and getting feedback from my developers and allowing them to share their concerns about their lovely front end being compared to previous builds in pixel perfect form, which was a lot of fun, and being able to agree that it's a tool to help us detect changes, not a quality gate that actually decides if it's good or not to let it out the door. I think it was a really interesting distinction to be able to make a automated test and agree as a team that this is not a quality gate, but is simply a tool for detecting changes that then allows us to make our own decisions, which was cool. And a couple of other things this week. It's been a busy week for me, Simon. So I also did a session in our Works Community Day yesterday, where we took a practice site, which was actually not a specifically necessary testing practice site, but was like a software development project. And we used it not necessarily for its original purpose, but to practice finding and fixing accessibility bugs with a variety of group of people in the company. And that was really a lot of fun. And then finally today, I had a team social with my team, and I started with a session which I think Elizabeth Grober recently ran at a Hungarian software testing conference very recently, but is also something I've heard of being run other places before, which is the no vehicles in the park exercise or questionnaire. And it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. And yeah, it's been a busy week.
Wow, Ben, lots happening. It's great. Really cool. I think, just amplifying your line, you know, agree that a tool is there to detect changes, but is not a quality gate. Yeah, I wonder how many people need to hear that today across the globe who are having those conversations about tooling and the tool making the decision or other things making the decision. It's a big one, and I think it's a good one to reiterate. So maybe that's worth a post on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. On reflection, yeah, that might be a good topic for a blog post.
100%. So my brain instantly went, it's like, oh, I wish Ben could write about that. That'd be a really
I might. I'll add that to the list.
Yeah, gets my vote.
Stick it on the backlog, Ben. I know you've got a huge list of things to write about, and it's tricky to find the energy and the time to crack on. But yeah, grateful when you do get to share that.
That does raise an interesting point about changes versus gates. Certainly for project work, any other kind of testing, really. It doesn't have to be project work, it could be the BAU work about how are we as testers in the community creating a narrative around not using terms that we, you know, that a lot of us don't like. You know, it seems that testers in the community could agree on a lot of terms that we don't like and that we would rather, you know, other people choose. But in the end, we're not necessarily the business stakeholders. You know, other parts of the business are, or our bosses are. And how can we promote those conversations about, please don't call this a gate, please call this a change, to Ben's point.
Yeah, it really feeds fundamentally into the categorical way that I have changed the way that I approach quality and testing, becoming and maturing as a quality engineer from having previously considered myself to be a tester or a QA engineer, in terms of supporting the teams to understand and make informed decisions rather than making judgments on good enough or not in isolation. It's a whole thing. But I also know there are plenty of other cool people with their hands up, Simon. So over to you to see if we can get some more on stage.
Thanks so much, Ben. Yeah, it's a hot topic. Maybe one for a dedicated session, or we could start a club thread, share some thoughts on that. Al, I think that would be a good one. It's a tricky one, isn't it? The kind of advocating for certain things and then getting caught up in words mean this, that, and the other. Hot topic. Can be spicy as well. So yeah, let's continue that chat. But let's bring Oleksandr up on stage. So Oleksandr Romanov, just press the button. Yes, it works.
Yeah.
Hello, Oleksandr. Welcome. Welcome to the stage. And yeah, how you been? It's good to see you again.
Hi, Simon. Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh. Hear you loud.
Okay. Good. Hi, everybody. And yeah, I just noticed that when you are joining the session a little bit late, you have more and more things that you want to share and tell, because a lot of people sharing their thoughts and you want to just help others or at your points. So I have a busy week, mostly related to diving deeper and deeper into blockchain testing and performance aspects of it. So it's like deeply technical stuff, but I want to emphasize a few things that would be beneficial for people and for a community. So the first thing is I want to continue like a thread about visual testing, but more in terms of like visual diagrams and visual representation of our work. And this week I found a very nice feature of the tool. The tool is called Excalidraw. It's a website or application that you can draw some block schemes. And the interesting feature of it is called text to draw. So basically it uses, I think, some kind of AI and stuff. So you can describe the process or your guide in the text, and then it will convert it automatically into the scheme. So it is really handful, for example, when you want to visualize some algorithm, some sequence of steps in a visual way. It does it very well and very quickly. So it is the first thing. The second thing is for visual testing, except of, for example, widespread tools like Apply Tools. I can recommend also open source tool. It's Visual Regression Tracker. So you can check this tool. It also can be used with UI automation, and it has a lot of bindings for a lot of other programming languages. So just check this tool also. And yeah. I think that's it. I don't want to steal some time from another people that want to share something.
That's brilliant, Oleksandr. Thank you for sharing that. Great tips and great tool advice, tool recommendations for the community to check out. That's brilliant. Always love those kind of tips as well. You know, particularly if you've been sort of nitty gritty hands on with this stuff, you get to sort of understand those benefits for your current situation, and that may be good for some other folks as well. It's brilliant. I was curious about the blockchain performance testing, but I'm also conscious. I had a very high level question thinking about, even though you sort of say it's super techie, technical deep testing, blockchain, some complexities there, of course. And I'd assume, given I'm not a domain expert in blockchain, that it requires a good amount of domain expertise. But I wondered, like, does it all come back to risk? Is your approach to how you would approach blockchain performance testing, is it you're thinking in terms of risk, and then that guides your approach?
Yes, actually, like on the conceptual level, it is the same as to any performance testing for any application, but the challenges and the complexities are in the system itself and how it works. Because you can't measure, for example, response time or latency in a straightforward way. Like, for example, from the moment that you clicked on the web application and to the moment that you get a response. Because in the most blockchain applications or blockchain-based applications that have somewhere underneath the blockchain part, then you can perform an action, you can get a result, but it takes time to get this result validated on the chain. And for example, for Bitcoin, it can take time up to 10 minutes or even more, or up to 60 minutes. So it in the blockchain world, it all depends on the point of measurement. So what you consider as a latency.
I'm interested to ask as well, Alexander, is this one of those key things where the probe effect comes in, where because as you add to the blockchain, it effectively gets bigger and potentially slower, that measuring it actually reduces its long-term performance. So you have to be sympathetic to how you probe that performance to be able to understand what its current and theoretical future performance might be.
Yes, but generally, the more blockchain like is filled with transactions, with filled with data, it actually impacts only the time that you need to spend to get this information for the first time when you're starting a node, for example. Then it is a big time. But when we are talking about general like processing of transactions, it's pretty, so it fluctuates, so from time to time, because it depends on the particular load on particular amount of transactions in the network. But generally you can actually have some like average time for processing. So that's how it works. But actually it is like a vast topic, and it was a different or separate session on it. And I think it requires a lot of beforehand explanations, maybe with some visualizations on how it works. Because without how it works, it is hard to understand what we are measuring or what we are doing.
What a fantastic niche. And yeah. I look forward to hearing your masterclass on it shortly.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same, but it sounds very cool, Alexander. I mean, yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's a fascinating topic, and no doubt one that is going to continue to be more important as these decentralized networks and technologies grow. So fascinating. But we have just over 10 minutes before we have to wrap up today. And I see that Viresh and Christine have been waiting very patiently with their hands up. So thank you for holding out there. I'm going to bring Viresh, as I can see there, first up or next up in the queue. So Viresh, let's get you up on stage. Hey, Viresh, how are you doing? How's your week in testing?
Fun. It is always fun when you're trying to test somebody else's code, right? You want to break it. It's the only intention that you get into it first place. But on the topic of interviews, I have a weird analogy, because you walk into a restaurant as a hungry man who's looking for a job. And let's say a restaurant is open for business. They will sell it. They will sell the food, because whatever is on the menu, it is all for sale. But recently, CNBC made a shocking case study that there are quite a few fake job opportunities. So I would just tell my fellow job seekers that do not beat yourself down if somebody's asking some random question just to find an excuse not to hire. Because it is, when CNBC says it, we can believe it. If it is politics, I may not. But again, that is something I've been experiencing. If somebody wants to hire you, it's just like hiring somebody to do a job. They will see if you know what you put on your resume and if there is something to back it up, like references or GitHub repo or some kind of realistic examples that you're quoting in the interview. Because that 1 hour that I sit down to hire somebody or interview somebody, I'm billing the client, and it is not free. Somebody can be a vice president, somebody could be a director, somebody could be a test lead, and their bill rates are way different what they invoice to the client. So if somebody is really interested in hiring somebody to do a job, they will find a reason to hire, not to not hire. So this is to respond to, you know, people who have been given tough time in the job market. So one person, you know, there is a company here in US, in Omaha. They brought me in for an in-person interview after 2 rounds of 2 hours Zoom call. And there was a 3 hour since on-site interview. And after that, waiting of 1 week, and they get back saying, you don't know Selenium. And all that for 6 hours of interview, and they could not figure out that I knew Selenium, and I led teams, and I have GitHub repo. I have literally presence in that area, I mean, technology area in that location, geography location. It's like, you know, yeah, they don't have a job. They just want to prove to their share market or somebody that they are actively hiring, and there is always hiring happening, and they're growing in numbers. So yeah, no discouragement. Feel, you know, if somebody says you're not a fit for a wrong reason, do not take that as feedback. Focus on your skills. It's just like, you know, sharpening your skills constantly will get you the job that you deserve. And on the topic of then, you know, when you're doing that visual testing, that is a very interesting topic for me. If you ever post something, put it on the LinkedIn or have it marketed or broadcasted through Simon, so everybody will be able to see that. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my insights in this.
Well, thank you, Viresh, for sharing. Oh, fascinating. I'm sorry you had that experience, first of all. But yeah, fascinating insight. Are companies hiring just to prove they are hiring to satisfy the needs of investors? Crikey, that's a big question, and would be fascinating to perhaps find some more data on that as to what companies are doing that, because that just, I mean, off the bat, just doesn't seem right. But I get what you're sharing there, Viresh, and I'm sorry you were part of that experience. Let's hope that never happens to you again. But yeah, very much appreciate you sharing your insights. And yeah, for sure, I think anything that Ben will share in the future, of course, we'll do our very best to amplify all of Ben's work, because Ben is a wonderful community person with tons of knowledge and experience and good vibes for the community. So of course, we will share and make sure you get to see that, Viresh, and many other people in the community. But let's, with the next 5 or so minutes, Christine Pinto, the wonderful Christine, has been waiting for a while. Let's bring Christine up on stage and we can find out what she's been up to this week.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Christine. Hi. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been chaotic, I can say the least. As some people might know, I switched from being a tester to becoming an entrepreneur, still in the testing field around test management. And then currently we're testing out our business idea. And that's a different kind of testing and a different kind of way of experiencing that. But I can tell you it's challenging. It's something where you really sit sometimes there and think, oh my God, nothing is working. But I wanted to give a shout out again, as I'm a lot of time doing, but I really believe in the community, because just going onto the Slack channel or going onto the club really helped me this week again by seeing, yes, there are people engaged. Yes, there are people also, just random people also wrote me messages because I'm reaching out to my network, posting more and said, yeah, your idea sounds cool. And we're looking forward. And it's it was nice. And I really, especially because we were this week thinking about a pivot in our idea and we were so unsure what to do. And a lot of people came back and told, yeah, your idea is good. And we're looking really forward. And it was really challenging. So I'm glad we tested this out. We're still testing. You're never enough in testing, especially when you build with such an amazing community like the Ministry of Testing. And I want to really put a big shout out to everybody who's writing me messages. So also a lot of people also sending me links to other apps which are building something similar. It helps really a lot because I cannot be everywhere. And it's really so amazing that you all are in this with us, basically. And I'm so glad to be part of this community and wanted to give that big shout out back, because it was not easy this week. And I'm really glad that all of you are here. And this week in testing is always for me so nice, because I hear so many things which I'm not doing right now. I'm not coding right now directly for testing, but I still do test my idea and think always about, okay, how can I include more people? How can I make also with my application more like job security? As we also spoke about these like interviews and fake interviews, I always think about AI will be hyped so much, but I still am a strong believer that it's just an argumentation of our work. We should use it as a tool, like a hammer to build a house. And yeah, that's so far to it, because I'm seeing me running out, and I wanted to put a big, big thank you to the community. Please stay as engaged as you always are, and thank you so much. And yeah, if you see me somewhere around, just give me a hi, as I always try to give highs back.
Ah, thank you for sharing, Christine. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been one of those weeks, by the way you described it. And yeah, folks, if you want to check out Epic Test Quest, do go check out what Christine is up to. It's very exciting. I actually had a shout out to yourself, Christine, in next week's MOT Weekly. So I will just check my notes to make sure it's in there. Yep, it's absolutely in there. Yeah, keep working with Christine, everybody. It's important that we can do exciting things with tooling, and you know, encourage people who are building tools from scratch. It takes serious effort, it takes bravery, it takes excitement and energy and passion to do that. And Christine's got all of that, so it's amazing. So please do join Christine on her journey building out Epic Test Quest. Very, very cool indeed.
Thank you, Simon. It was very sweet. You made me blush.
Anytime. That's what the community's about, right? We've got to amplify each other, support each other, and just help each other out. That's the way we roll. And it's important that we continue to do that. So yeah, thanks for sharing your gratitude as well, Christine. That's very cool. Okay, folks, well, we are coming towards the end of our session today. Thank you to all of our listeners who stuck with us. Again, my apologies for the audio troubles towards the start there. I hope we didn't miss too much, but hey, as we've discussed, these things do happen. So just a couple of things to remember for next week. Yeah, we have the Testing Planet episode 6. We're calling it The Apprentice. It's really about, as I mentioned earlier on, but perhaps for those who joined a little bit later, it is about, you know, how to learn about testing, how to think about how you can go into an interview, whether you're an interviewee or an interviewer, and also, you know, what it means to onboard someone to your company and what it means to you being onboarded and how you can make the most of your time when you first join a company. So it's a good one. We've got some good folks for that session. Yeah, a lovely bunch of people hosted by Tristan Lombard, who will bring the energy and make everybody feel welcome. So that's happening next week on Thursday, the 24th of October. So do come along. It starts in the afternoon UK time. It's open to everyone. You can jump on in for the entire few hours, or you can join us for one or two sessions, whatever works for you. And if you are, if you are a Ministry of Testing professional member, you will get access to all of the recordings a couple of weeks or so after the event. So if you can't make it, no worries. I appreciate we've all got stuff going on. But if you have a professional membership, you will get access to all of those conversations that are recorded. Plus, talking of which, actually, we reminded folks yesterday that all of the Test Bash talks from 2024, so that was last month, God, it's flown by. Those talks are now available. There are 19 videos ready for you to dive in. A good bunch of them are centered around the theme of AI, and a good bunch of them, many different topics related to testing, but perhaps you could consider it's more the human side of testing. Those videos are well worth checking out, so you can get access to that. If you're an attendee of Test Bash, you get access to them, or if you do have a professional membership, plus access to all of the talks that we have at Ministry of Testing. It's all there, ready to dive into. Maybe you want to set up a watch party with your team, or you want to watch one and share your notes publicly to help other people in the community learn from the way you learn. So I very much encourage you to do that and reshare. Okay, folks, we've come to the hour. Thank you so much for sticking with us. It's been lovely to hang out with you today. Always grateful to host This Week in Testing. And thanks to everybody who's joined up on stage. We had Matili, we had Al, we had Suresh, Ben, Alexander, and We also had Varish and Christine. Wow, it's a good bunch of us today. But please enjoy the rest of your day wherever you may be and have a lovely weekend. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.